Glory to God. Luke 6, 3:16. Apologize. Are you there? Now, this is John preaching to everybody. You know the verse. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. The word mightier, the word might means resourceful strength. Okay? Whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will, everybody say he, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now here we see John telling the people about Jesus. Jesus is about to come on the scene. He does come. John baptizes him with water. But what we see here is it said that John baptized with water, but Jesus will come and baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Who would baptize? Who would do it? Jesus. Who would do it? Jesus would do it. Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, church, I'm going to say something to you, and you may feel a little odd about it, but if you'll give me a couple of seconds to walk you through it, you're going to see where I'm going, okay? And I'm going to make this statement to you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the greatest event in Christian history. Now, hold on to your seats. It's greater than the crucifixion. It's of greater importance than the resurrection. It's greater than the ascension. And it's greater than the glorification. Why? It's the end and the finality of crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and glorification. They were the means to the end of what God is actually looking for. Well, I thought it was just, you know, I just need to get saved so I can go to heaven. That's good. But that's not all of God's will in this earth. That's not all God intended to do. You're getting a part of it. You got your fire insurance, I guess we could say. You're not going to go to hell. But this was the intention, and I believe that by the time we get finished this morning, that you'll see exactly what I mean. See, if Jesus had been crucified and there had been no resurrection, his death would have been ineffective, right? It'd have been futile as far as salvation is concerned. I mean, if he hadn't resurrected, well, he died. But he resurrected, and so we know what happened there. And if he had risen from the grave in resurrection and failed to reach the throne of God, there to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit from the Father, the purpose for which he died, then he would have missed it there too. We would have missed it. But do you remember what he said? He said, I go to the Father and I'm going to send you a comforter, and this will be more valuable to you than me being here on the earth. Wow. That's what he said. Remember how they were like, oh, you're going to leave us here. No. I'm going to send you God that can reside on the inside of you. You will be like me. Oh, if we would just get a picture of everything written in here and how it's laid out, we would see so much more. Jesus had no failure. He went to the ultimate, to the very throne and heart of God, and secured right out of the heavenly treasury of the eternal soul the Almighty Spirit and poured it forth in divine baptism. And that's why we're here today. Church, the day of Pentecost is the birthday of Christianity. It wasn't Easter. It's the day of Pentecost. Can you see that? Nobody got born again until that day. It didn't exist until the Holy Spirit showed up from heaven. So listen, there's no subject in all the Word of God that seems to me that should be approached with honor and holy reverence as the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And yet so many Christians are flippant about it. You know, when Moses entered the presence of God at the burning bush, God said, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. The presence of the Lord was there. Holy ground. Holy Spirit. We should approach with honor. Amen. How much more should we as individuals seeking baptism of the Holy Spirit or entering His presence remember the price that was paid? Jesus lived in the world, died on the cross, entered the darkness of death, hell, and the grave, grappled with it, strangled the accursed power, and came forth and ascended to heaven in order to secure the Holy Spirit for you and me. He did all of that so that the Holy Spirit could come into the earth. You remember when the curtain was rent in the Holy of Holies? You remember when Jesus was rent, the blood poured out, the Holy Spirit is... But listen, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus went and sent. That's good. Thank you, Lord, for it. If there's anything that I just believe, anything that should command any reverence... it is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We, church, we cannot trade the communion of the Holy Spirit for a smile of the world. We can't just become relevant to the rest of the world. Well, if we just make ourselves, if we add a few things that the world would like, maybe people would come. No, this is about Holy Spirit. This is about the real body of Christ. It's not about just trying to pull in numbers. Yeah, we want numbers. It's about numbers. We want people saved. But it's not about us turning into something else so that we can get people. It's about the power of God on our lives. Thank you, Jesus. As far as the Holy Spirit's concerned, I am endeavoring today to walk you into a new place. That's what I want to do. Many of us were baptized in the Holy Spirit years ago. Along the way, it seems to me that the baptism of the Holy Spirit turned into trying to teach people to speak in tongues. And that's not it. Tongues are certainly evidence. The teaching that I'm combating or trying to combat today is that God comes to present the individual, all of you, with a gift of power, and then the individual is then supposed to go out and manifest certain characteristics of this power. That's what I'm trying to get out of your thinking. Now, I think that possibly because we use the term over in Corinthians 13, we use the term the gifts of the Spirit. Sorry, 12. Got over into love. The gifts of the Spirit. The true translation isn't the gifts of the Spirit. You know that, don't you? The true translation is the spirituals. In other words, this is what comes out of Holy Spirit. And I think the wording there, I was telling Deb this, and I think this, and I want to be able to prove this to you, but I think the wording there throws people off. I think it's like this. Larry, you take this one. Chris, you take this one. Eldrin, you take this one. Cherie, you take this one. Jesse, you take this one. Larry, take this. Debbie, take this. I don't think that's how we need to look at it. You know, it says he gives them severally as he would. And it kind of leaves us with this impression, the way it's worded. I think we can grow bigger than this. Leaves us with this word kind of, okay, now, he needs this. I hope you show up. Because I know I have the Holy Ghost because I was baptized 40 years ago. Shama, shama. Yeah. Are you getting the feel of what I'm trying to tell you? Are you feeling this with me? Are you sensing what I'm trying to tell you? There's a higher level of thinking concerning Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God comes to present you with Himself. Not this. Not this. He comes to give you Himself. And He, as spiritual substance, then lives in you. Not just a power current, a person. Yes. You shall receive power when? After the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Not you shall receive power. You shall receive power because Holy Spirit is in here. Come on with me. Come on with me. Because He's in here. It's bigger than you think sometimes. And the Holy Ghost has power. Spirit's in you. Then when you're baptized, yeah, when you're born again, Holy Spirit comes to live in you. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when you go all the way under. The Greek word for baptize is dunk. It's not sprinkle. It's dunk all the way under. Glory. Dunkin' Donuts are all the way under donuts in your coffee. That helps, huh? You baptize a donut. When you played in the pool and you dunked your friend, you're putting them all the way under. That represents something. It represents you laying old life down when you got baptized, being raised up. Some people don't believe you need to be baptized. I think it's a prophetic enactment myself. And you put everything under and you rise up a new person. Well, when the Holy Spirit baptizes you, the same thing happens. He takes over, and the reason why you speak in tongues after that is because He just got hold of the hardest thing to train. That is the truth right there. Jesus paid the price, and He went to heaven in order that the very treasury of the heart of Father God might be unlocked for your benefit, that the streams of life and the nature of God would possess you, listen to me, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Yeah. Once that mouth got taken care of, it's possible. Oh, Jesus. Let me see if I can give you a little picture and then we'll walk on. A spirit cannot legally live in the earth. There are illegal spirits in the earth, the dark side. But a spirit, God follows truth and law. Mm-hmm. Not legalism, law. Yes. What He set forth. You have to have an earth suit to be here. Okay. So the only way to get Holy Spirit into the earth is through a man. Adam had Holy Spirit right there. But Adam stepped away. Jesus came and received the download of the Holy Spirit, And right after he did, miracles and signs and wonders and ministry started happening. Authority started happening. He was doing things that nobody else did on this earth. And he called himself Son of Man, not Son of God. Remember what the devil said to him? The devil said, "What are you doing here, Son of God?" Blah, 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 blah. And he shut them up. They were trying to call him Son of God so they could call him illegal. But he was legal. And he's carrying Holy Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of the Father. Now, I want to say this to you in the name of Jesus. I pray you get this. There is just as much eternal God in your toenails and in your brain as there is in your soul and in your spirit. If you will not keep him locked up in your soul. When Holy Spirit came, he dissolved. Jesus did this for us, and he dissolved all of the sin out of your soul. Okay? All the dark is gone out of you. Dissolved. It's dissolved. It's gone. Even when you misbehave, you're not a sinner anymore. You're saved. Do you sin? Yeah. But you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You do things that are right. Most of the time, not on purpose. Unless you have some kind of reprobate thing going on. But you are saved. Now listen to this. He can dissolve all disease out of your joints and your organs too. He hates sickness as much as he hates sin. And in the truest sense, you are the temple of God. Listen to Jesus. What did Jesus say? He said, "The words I speak not of myself, but the Father that what? Dwelleth in me." I'm doing what the God in me wants me to do. I'm moving and flowing with the God in me, my Father. I'm moving and flowing with what he wants me to do. Amen. Well, you know, Pastor, I just feel like that's just impossible. We're just so carnal. Well, you don't have to be. You keep thinking like that, you stay like that. That's what I'm talking about, your soul locking things down. In every part of his being, in his soul, his brain, his blood, his bones, every solitary cell of his structure, God was dwelling in. Every cell. You know, you're one big cell structure. That's what you are. It's raining, Art. You'll see why we're excited here in a minute. Now, I'm going to tell you the real secret. You want to hear the real secret? Do you want to? Okay. The real secret to healing is in permitting the Spirit of God in your heart to flow out through your hands and nerves into the outer life. Permitting. Because you're the vessel. You're the one carrying. So you have to permit it. You're the man on earth. You're the earth suit on earth. You're the legal one on earth. You're the one with the authority on earth. God gave it to you in the first book of the Bible. And so you have to release and receive the God in you throughout you or through you into someone else. We'll say through right now, but as long as we keep it established that it's God in you. That's the real secret. One of the greatest works God has to perform is to subject our flesh to himself. You know that. We seem to have this need to go through this process of becoming more spiritual before God can reveal himself. Well, you know, when I grow up more, when I get my character right, when I hold my mouth just right, that might have something to do with it, but no. But you know, this process, I'll get there one of these days, and I know God will use me more, and maybe if I quit this and quit that and quit this, but you're going to become more spiritual by not imprisoning Christ in you. Does that make sense to you? Let him live. Let him manifest. Let him vent. Let him come in. If your toe's hurting, call him to the toe. Is this above y'all's head? Are y'all good? It doesn't matter if it's above your head. Just let your heart. Just let your spirit work on this. You'll get to where I'm going. Many people here can lay hands on you today and you can be healed by the power of God. But there's something that you need to get. You can get well and you can get your youth renewed by realizing right now that the same Christ who dwells in your spirit and your soul is in your bones and your blood and your brain right now. When we stop and we look at the truth, God is, he's trying to make us in all of our nature and being and our habits and our thoughts and in all the structure of our life, just as beautiful and just as real and just as clear-minded as Jesus himself. Boy, I want to be as clear-minded as Jesus. I'm tired of people finishing my sentences for me. We're going to go to, and then five people try to figure out what I'm going to say. That's over. A lot of times we're all working and one of us will walk through there and go, I forgot what I was going to do. That's over. It's over. Clear as Jesus. Do you know what pneumatology is? Anybody know? That's the theological study of Holy Spirit. The word pneuma is a Greek word, and it means breath or it means spirit. I just want to look at breath for just a minute as we walk through this. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Okay? The breath. So understand, you cannot separate God's breath from God. He didn't create a man breath. Here, let me create a man breath and I'll put a man breath. He blew his own pneuma into man. Every person, every single person, even people that are not born again, have some light in life. There's a measure of faith in every single person. Gets all covered up by stuff and coming down through the generations and stuff. But thank God I was in a good line. It didn't take us too long. But that breath, that portion of God is in every one of us. He breathed on us. He breathed in us. And I just want to tell you, when you look at verse 4 there, where it talked about creating, if you look up above that, it says in God, you know, I'm in Genesis 2. It says he created, he creates in the first and the second chapter of Genesis. He goes on and tells how he did it again. They laid it out. Moses did in there for us. Okay, so in verse 4, it said God created, and that word created is the word bara. And the sages say that the way they did it was incorrect because there's another part to that word in Hebrew, and it is the fifth letter of the alphabet called hey. Hey is in God's name. Abraham became, he was Abram, he became Abraham because God put something new in him. Sarai became Sarah because God put something new in her. Yeah. So God breathed, you know, there's a big thing about names to God. And he put his name when he in his breath. Y'all know Yahweh or Jehovah is how we say it. We say Jehovah in English. But in Hebrew, his name is Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. Okay? The Jews won't even say it. They just say the name, Hashem, the name. Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. Hey, it's the fifth letter in the alphabet, the Jewish alphabet, and it 5 is the number of grace. Praise the Lord. There's so much in this. But God breathed his name in man. And so what they say then is they say, they actually call the breath the divine breath of God, the divine breath of God, so that it won't be mistaken for, well, I created a man breath and put it in him. It's the divine breath of God that was blown into Adam. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. You are God breathed and then God filled. You know, it's just interesting to me. Could we even have more in us than what we've received? The answer is absolutely yes. There's a lot more that we can be receiving from just who is on the inside of us. You're connected to the glory realm. You just have to arise. You just have to not lock the Holy Spirit up in your soul. And it comes by revelation. It comes by you understanding that you are the temple of the Lord, that he loves your body. He loves every bit of you. He wants you well. He wants your youth renewed. He does not want you worried. He does not want you frightened. He does not want you messed up. He does not want you depressed. He does not want you having pity parties. He does not want you doing any of those things. He wants you to live in joy and goodness and blessing, and he's on the inside of you to make it happen. Ben Franklin believed that he could bottle electricity. He had a conception that it was real and that it was tangible and that it could be handled. Now, he believed that lightning was the same as electricity, and you know the story. He made a kite and attached the key to the string, and with his hand he drew a spark from the key. You all remember that, okay? The result of the experiment revolutionized the world, and you're living in the comfort of it right now. men began to study the laws of electricity and apply them. Jesus Christ came to reveal the laws of the Spirit and apply them. In the heart of God, there's a dynamic power which is great enough to heal every sick person in the world, to heal them of anything, of any degree of sin or degree of sickness, to raise the dead, bless God. There's enough power in God to do it all at once.
Amen.
My Lord. And I think this is just me, but I think this is what God was thinking. Actually, a few other people agree with me, I believe. God would think like this: to the extent that I can uncover the minds of men so that they can see this and appropriate it for their benefits, I can save the world. However deeply I can get you to understand this, the faster this thing's going to go, the more. Can you see why the enemy has tried to shut this off? Thank you, Lord. I believe that Jesus was actually began to work this out. That's what he was doing. He was working this out. Through the life, through the death, the resurrection, the throne, the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out into the world, it's proceeded to bless the world. And he keeps pouring out on everyone who will receive him. You just have to believe like Ben Franklin did. And he believed there was electricity and he went after it. I believe that's faith with corresponding action. Now, as we close, I want to read you some scripture. This is Deuteronomy 11:14. It says, "Then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil." We are definitely in the time of rain, and we just actually had a manifestation. And if the early rain is abundant, wouldn't the latter rain be even more abundant? Yes. And then this is Joel 2:23. "Be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you what the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed." He repeated that. "And it shall come to pass afterward." So, has restoration started in your life? Has restoration begun to start here in America? It has. We're winning. State by state. "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." Now this is Acts 2:16. This is what Peter said. He got up there, you know, they think everybody's drunk. He says, "They're not drunk as you suppose." He says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream." He's quoting scripture. "And on my servants and on my handmaids." Oh, to women too. Okay, well, praise the Lord. "I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." So he poured out his spirit on men and women. So I guess women keeping silent in church might mean something different, or they couldn't prophesy. Yep. Amen. Just thought I'd throw that in there for all you lady preachers. And it does mean something different. This group knows that. Everybody say poor. Say it again, poor. He's pouring out his spirit. Tangible substance of the person of God. Not an influence. Not just a little influence that's going to come through you. The tangible presence of God in you. Poured out in you and poured out upon you. So I want to say something to you today, church. This is my responsibility with you to get you here. We cannot be so thoughtless as to just count the baptism as an event and then we were okay. We just needed to use the power as we can. When did you receive your baptism? Oh, back in on April the 8th, 1976, I received my baptism. Praise God. Mark that off. No. This is God in us. This is God in us. Yeah, Lord, I will. Are you getting the feel of what I'm trying to tell you? This is not a checklist. This is God dwelling in you. This is a fellowship in you. This is God working in you. This is God living in you. This is the life of God in you. This is not just something that you can say, oh, I've got it. And those tongues that come out, they're not machine gun. There might be some of that in there for some people if it's a language. But God Almighty speaks with inflections and language. It's quiet in here. He wants to baptize you with himself and with fire. The fire is a consuming power that dissolves the chaff. Chaff is that old straw residue that's left in wheat. It's useless, so you got to get it out. So whatever is worthless can be burned up. And the beautiful thing about God is it doesn't hurt. He's not burning it up with a problem. He's not burning it up with something going inside of you. He's going to tickle you. He's going to bless you. And those things are going to be removed from your soul. And they can be removed from your soul forever if you'll just let him out of the soulless realm into, or out of the spirit realm into your soul and into your body and work with you. And then the anointing that's coming from other people on you, and bam, something's happening and glory comes. And we haven't even gotten to that part yet where the glory realm just comes. I'm just dealing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't even think people want to preach about this now, because you know we all got the Holy Spirit years ago. Come on. This is exactly what people right now are going to cry out for in this great awakening. I told you what LaDonna said. She went to meet with this man who's a movie producer, and she's going to probably won't tell all her business, but he wanted her to do something. She says, well, what do you want from me? He said, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All the Catholic people right now are being filled with the Holy Spirit again, just like in the 60s and 70s. Us Baptists came in at that time too. Yeah. Yeah. People want him. This is not merchandising the anointing. Well, I'm going to get some power in my life, and then I'll just be the woman of the hour. Glory to God. Glory to God. And this is God in us wanting to correct your hangnail. He does. He wants to get the exact picture of the boat so you can get the exact boat. He wants you to live your dreams. He's in there. Stop stopping him up. Well, see, you know, religion has just played a dirty trick on all of us. Dirty trick. And it works too. You have the nature of God. And you can start acting like him. And you can love like him.
Yes.
Who sheds the love of God abroad in your heart? The Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. He wants to baptize you with fire, and he doesn't want to do it once. He wants to do it often. And when things come up and you kind of leaked out, you know, and you started getting aggravated, and then you go back and you worship God like we did this morning, and he just starts dissolving and flushing out all that, you're like, oh, yeah, it's all right. Thank you, Jesus. I just received my healing in my body right now. Thank you, Lord, that my heart beats with the rhythm of life. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to be oppressed by anything. Thank you, Lord, that I can just lean on you. You said you would do it. You'll do it. Thank you, Lord. You know, that person they're just, you know, against me, and they don't even realize. And Lord, I commit them to you. You take care of it. I can just be at peace. And that peace that passes all understanding. And when there's loss in your life, you just go, well, you know, I've got something greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he. Say that. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Jesus can baptize you with the Holy Spirit to the point that all of the worthless stuff is totally gone out, just like the sin was dissolved in your life. Sickness and defeat and mental illness and emotional conflict, bye-bye, all is gone. The madman at Gadara came to his right mind. Now, you're not loaded up like that. You're God-possessed. This is not about him doing a little, nah, 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 and now you got a little sprinkle of anointing on you. Bing, bing. This is about in you, God in you, coming up on you. And I'm going to tell you, every follicle of your hair that he knows, he doesn't just know how many hairs you have. He knows which one's number one, number two, number 14, number 16. Yeah, he does. He went, oh, there was number 32. Okay, bring him a new one in there. Even short hair. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Church, well, what I'm trying to get across to you is we have locked Holy Spirit down into these certain moves or this certain, well, if he shows up, if you showed up, he showed up.